Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Israel Abeth Yahweh. Can't. I'm going to start off with a brief message, as always. At this time, you know, if you haven't gathered your notepads and your books and your glasses and things of that nature that's needed for study material, take this opportunity and get those things. Prepare yourself for another opportunity to hear what the Most High has to let us know today. And the topic that we're going to be talking about today is another one of those seeds of Hasatan, how he came down and on this earth and came through a man. Now we're going to talk about Nimrod. But before we talk about Nimrod, we'll do a brief prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Shabbat day to worship you and give honor to you. We thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of this week. And we thank thee for giving us an opportunity to take the burdens of the week off of us and hear what you have to say to us on this Shabbat day. We thank thee for meeting with us. We ask of thee, O Father, to open our ears and open our minds to receive the wonders of your word throughout the course of this day, like Shabbat day, the day in which you set aside and sanctified for our use and our opportunity to be one with you. We thank thee once again for allowing us to come to this Shabbat day. We pray in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Like I said earlier, we're going to talk about Nimrod. But before talk about Nimrod, I'm just going to go back to the opening song. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. It says, put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm starting off there because as we've been going through these sessions, we've been talking about different things in which the adversary, Hasatan, Halal, has placed in this world. And we understand that they're only being placed in the world because the Most High is allowing this to happen. Because it's something that the Most High wants us to learn as humanity. And that we have to go through our trials and our tribulations in order to be one with Him. Just like this day right here, He has set it apart. You have many in the world who are not even keeping the Shabbat. But we are here listening for what He has to say to us on this day, because He told us to. And we're showing obedience to Him and His word. So as we go through the different things in regards to Hasatan and how he manipulates and talks to men to cause them to go against the Most High and against His word. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about Nimrod, but I have a few opening scriptures that I'm going to start off with. I'm going to start off in Isaiah 45, verse 7. And it's talking about, you'll see, it says, I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. And I started off with this because I want to let everyone know, and if you've read it before, you know, the Most High is aware of all things that are happening. And He's aware of the character of man. As we read earlier when we was dealing with him, you know, He said that the mind of men is wicked, desperately wicked. That's all they think about, wickedness. And because He understands this, He understands how to utilize humanity for His purpose. And at the same time, in using humanity, He's giving humanity an opportunity to get it right with Him. And to want to be right with Him. And as we go through the scriptures, and many times, you know, the Most High allows different people to come in your life so that you can get a glimpse of His light through His Son, Yahushua. So from here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. It says, I, Yahweh, searches the mind. And try the heart, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. So, when here, just to let you know, the Father understands and He knows us, and He will give you your just reward. If you do well, He gives you well. Just like when we deal with the first offering that Cain and Abel were given. Cain gave a bad offering, and so he got the reward of a bad offering. And the Father didn't like it, did not respect it. Abel gave an offering, and it was respected. He gave them the fruit of his doing. Then I went to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. You say in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Mighty One. I will sit on the mountain of the assembly in the far north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So we're reading this, and I read this because this is going back to Hasatan. This is something that he has said. And so as we go through and dealing with his seed, we're going to come across, when we're dealing with Nimrod, different people who have had this particular thought in their mind in regards to the Most High. Proverbs 29, 1 and 2, and it reads, he who is often rebuked and stiffens his neck will be destroyed with no remedy. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. So I went here because there's times when Israel is amongst those who are not righteous. And when the Israel, or the people of the Most High, do righteously and be obedient, then they can rejoice in the midst of wickedness. But if they don't be righteous and go astray, then they are going to be, and they groan because of the wickedness that's being applied to them by those who don't believe in the Most High. Then from here, I want you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He who opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the temple of Elohim, setting himself up as Elohim. So, we're going to go through, as we go through, you want to see, or I'm going to read some accounts of men who have done these things. And this is just a little note that as I was doing the study, I came up with, and it says, pride makes us think that we do not need Yahweh. Pride separates us from Yahweh. Then I went to Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Mighty One, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. John 9:31. We know that the Mighty One does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of the Mighty One and does his will, he listens to him. And from here, I went to Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 2, verse 6, and verse 9. And I'm going to read them in succession. And it says, Son of man, tell the prince of Tyre, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am mighty, I am Mighty One. I sit in the seat of Elohim in the midst of the sea. Yet you are a man and not El. Though you did set your heart as the heart of Elohim. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because you have set your heart as the heart of Elohim, will you yet say before him who kill you, I am Elohim, but you are a man and not El, in the hand of him who wounds you. And from here, we get ready to get into our lesson. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 26. And it reads, and this is give him just a little background. This is Noah. And that Noah's blessing his sons, or he giving the blessing. And he said, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Shem. Let Cain be his servant. And from here, as I've said in many times, when you're using outside sources, these outside sources have to coincide with the Torah or with the Holy Scriptures. So, and doing a little study in regards to Nimrod is really not mentioned that much in the Scriptures. He's not mentioned that much in the Scriptures. So, I went to the book of Jasher to see if they had some accounts of Nimrod, and it had some accounts of Nimrod. So, I'm going to read couple scriptures that's in the book of Jasher, chapter 7, verses 31 to 47. And after we read that, I'm going to follow up with some scriptures from the Torah just to support these things. But one of the things that, before we read those scriptures, I looked his name up, and I looked it up in the Hancock Bible Name Dictionary. And in this reference, it had Nimrod as being rebellion. And it says probably from an unknown Assyrian word. I also looked it up again in another source, which was the Smith Bible Dictionary. And it's Nimrod again, and it has basically the same meaning, rebellion or valiant. And then it says the son of Cush. So from there, we understand that Cush was one of Ham's sons. And we talked about Ham last week. So, Book of Jasher, chapter 7, verses 31 to 47. And it reads, "And Nimrod strengthened himself and rose up among his brethren, and he fought the battles of his brethren against all their enemies round about. And Elohim delivered all the enemies of his brethren in his hand. And Elohim prospered him from time to time in his battles, and he reigned upon earth. Therefore, it became current in those days when a man ushered forth those that he had trained up for battle. He would say to them, like Elohim did to Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter in the earth, and who succeeded in the battles that prevailed against his brethren, that he delivered them from the hands of their enemies. So may Elohim strengthen us and deliver us this day. And when Nimrod was 40 years old, at that time there was a war between his brethren and the children of Japheth, so that they were in the power of their enemies. And Nimrod went forth at that time, and he assembled all the sons of Cush and their families, about 460 men. And he hired also from some of his friends and acquaintances about 80 men, and he gave them their hire, and he went with them to battle. And when he was on the road, Nimrod strengthened the heart of the people that went with him. And he said to them, do not fear, neither be alarmed, for all our enemies will be delivered into our hands, and you may do with them as you please. And all the men that went were about 500, and they fought against their enemies, and they destroyed them and subdued them. And Nimrod placed standing officers over them in their respective places. And he took some of their children as security, and they were all servants to Nimrod and to his brethren. And Nimrod and all the people that were with him turned homeward. And when Nimrod had joyfully returned from battle, after having conquered his enemies, all his brethren, together with those who knew him before, assembled to make him king over them, and they placed a royal crown upon his head. So I'm stopping right here because I have it highlighted on my paper. So right here, we're looking at Nimrod being, being placed in a king's role by the people that he's been fighting with. So right here, you got a man, allowing himself to be elevated into a king because these people have elected him to be king over them. However, we know he hasn't been anointed. The Most High didn't choose him to be a king, but he chose himself, and the people chose him to to be a king. Verse 40, and he set over his subjects, people, and he set over his subjects and people, princes, judges, and rulers, as in the custom among kings. And he placed Terah, the son of Nahor, the prince of his host. And he dignified him and elevated him above all his princes. And while he was reigning according to his heart's desire, after having conquered all his enemies around, he advised with his counselors to build a city for his palace. And they did so. And they found a large valley opposite the east, and they built him a large and extensive city. And Nimrod called the name of the city that he built Shinar, for the Elohim had verily shaken his enemy and destroyed them. And Nimrod dwelt in Shinar, and he reigned securely, and he fought with his enemies, and he subdued them, and he prospered in all his battles, and his kingdom became very great. And all nations and tongues heard of his fame, and they gathered themselves to him, and they bowed down to the earth, brought him offerings, and he became their lord and king. And they all dwelt with him in the city at Shinar. And Nimrod reigned in the earth over all the sons of Noah, and they were all under his power and counsel. And all the earth was of one tongue and words of unity. But Nimrod did not go in the ways of Yahweh, and he was wicked than all the men that were before him, from the days of the flood unto those days. And he made gods of wood and stone, and he bowed down to them, and he rebelled against Elohim. And he taught all his subjects and the people of the earth his wicked ways. And I'm going to stop right there. So this is a little account that I read from out of Jasher. So now I'm going to Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. And it reads, Cush became the father of Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Yahweh. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calmith, and the land of Shinar. So from there, as we see, he rose himself up as a king. The people worshipped him. His family, you know, worshipped him, because during that time, this is shortly after the flood, so they was actually repopulating the earth. So when we're talking about, you know, the people that he was dealing with, he was actually dealing with his family, you know, Ham, his other, you know, Ham, Shem, and Yafet. And so from here, I went to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And I went here because of some of the references that were made in the little excerpt that I read. And it reads, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it happened as they traveled east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. They said one to another, come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly. They had bricks for stones, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches to the sky. And let's make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the surface of the whole earth. Yahweh came down to the city in the tower which the children of men built. Yahweh said, behold, there are one people, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will be withheld from them which they intend to do. Come, let's go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Yahweh scattered them abroad from there on the surface of all the earth. They stopped building the city, therefore its name was called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of all the earth from there. From there, Yahweh scattered them abroad on the surface of the earth. So, as we read in the excerpt of Nimrod, that's one of the things that he didn't want to happen. And so that's one of the reasons why they started building cities, because he didn't want them to scatter. He didn't want to be scattered. But at the end, because he wasn't teaching the will of the Most High went down and made that different, because he was teaching them to worship idols, rebelling against the Most High. So from there, you know, I'm looking at, one of the offshoots of Nimrod. We're going to go to Babylon, and we're going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is a king over Babylon. And as we know that, you know, Nimrod taught the people to worship other things outside of Yahweh. So the Babylons did not worship the one true God. They worshiped many false gods and idols. Their king, Nebuchadnezzar, was a very powerful man who also worshiped false gods and idols. However, Yahweh had a plan to reveal himself to Nebuchadnezzar. So with that in mind, one of the things that we know about Nebuchadnezzar is that he had two dreams. And Daniel was the one who interpreted. So we're going to go to those dreams, because this is another episode or another king who was trying to raise himself above the Mighty One. And as we read earlier, opening scripture was, everything is according to the Most High's plan. So I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 and 38. And this is actually talking about Nebuchadnezzar's first dream. And it reads, this is the dream. And this is basically dealing with the interpretation. This is the dream, and we will tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are king of kings, to whom the Mighty One of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the strength, and the glory. And whoever the children of men and wherever the children of men dwell, the animals of the field and the birds of the sky has he given into your hand, and has made you ruler over all of them. You are the head of gold. So in his dream, he had seen this figure. And the interpretation is letting him know that he is the head of gold. So from there, we're going to go to, in the same book, Daniel chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. And at the same time, in dealing with this, you have to be mindful that at this time, Israel is in Babylonian captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar is over them, and he's not treating the people well. He's not treating the people good. So overall, the Most High has given him an opportunity to get himself right. So We're going to go to Daniel chapter 4, verses 20 and to 27. And it reads, and this is dealing with his second dream. So the Most High is actually giving him an opportunity to get himself right. Just like in when we were dealing with Cain and how he said, Cain, if you do well, you will get well. So basically the Most High is talking to Nebuchadnezzar, as we know, who is an idol worshiper. But the Most High has a plan for him. And it reads, verse 20, the tree that you saw, which grew. No, I'm going back to this. Basically, Daniel right here is giving an interpretation. I didn't read the parts that lead up to this, but this is what he's talking about. He's giving an interpretation of this particular dream. And it says, the tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reached to the sky and its sight to all the earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit much, and in it was food for all, under which the animals of the field lived, and on whose branches the birds of the sky had their habitation. It is you, O king, that are grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from the sky and say, cut down the tree and destroy it. Nonetheless, leave the stump of its root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of the sky, and let his portion be with the animals of the field until seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and it is the decree of the Most High, which is come on my lord the king, that you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as the ox, as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of the sky. And seven times shall pass over you until you know that Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be sure to you after you shall have known that the heavens do rule. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted to you, and break off your sin by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there may be a lengthening of your tranquility. So I'm going here, like I said, you're dealing with this king, and he's coming out of the stock of Nimrod. And he's got pride up in him. He's got pride. Why? Because the Most High has given him a lot of things, given him a lot of wealth, given him a lot of power. So now we're getting ready to see something, where pride jumps in the way. Because that's what happens to us at times. Pride gets in the way, and we feel as though we don't need the Father. But we need the Father all the time because he's always there. He's the one that's giving us the power to do the things that we do. Verse 28, I'm reading Daniel chapter 4, verse 28-30. And it reads, at this time on King Nebuchadnezzar, at all this came on the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12th month. He was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built for a royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for my glory of my majesty? Right here, he didn't messed up because he's not giving the Most High his praise. He's taking credit for something that he didn't even do. Then I went down to verse 34 and 36 in the same chapter. And it says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to the heavens, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will. In the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or ask him, what are you doing? At the same time, my understanding returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lord sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellence and greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. So I went here just to reiterate some of the things that may have been passed down from Nimrod to some of his kings that, you know, seen him come up the ranks. But this king, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, had a dream. The Most High had a plan for him to show unbelievers or those who once were worshiping idols, and to show that those idols in which they worship are nothing. Because it was prophesied that he was going to dwell like an animal. He seen it. He realized it. He gave praise and gave honor to the Most High. And he learned a lesson. You know, he learned a lesson. He had wealth and glory, and he lost it, and then it was given back to him. So then I went from there, I went back to Daniel again, chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. And this is dealing with another king that ruled over Israel. And this is dealing with King Darius. And it didn't have really much information on him, so I'm just going to go read the scripture there. And I chose this particular king because with this king, he didn't go through too much of anything to understand that the power of the Most High was great. And I'm reading the scriptures, and it says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages who dwelled in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all the dominions of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the mighty one of Daniel, for he is the living mighty one and steadfast forever. His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. So far, just dealing, like I said, dealing with kings or men who raised themselves up but wasn't risen up by the Most High, and how the Most High will deal with you accordingly and bring you to the acknowledgement of who he is. So from here, it took me to another king that comes out of Ham's line, and we're dealing with the Egyptians now, and this is, we're going to go to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. But first of all, we're going to start with, and this particular king of Israel, or this pharaoh of Egypt, he acknowledged the mighty one of Joseph. And it reads, and it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, and stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven cattle, sleek and fat, and they fed in the marsh grass. Behold, seven other cattle came up after them out of the river, ugly and thin, and stood by other cattle on the brinks of the river. The ugly and thin calf ate up the seven sleek and fat calves. I mean cattle. My fault. I apologize for saying calf is cattle. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamt a second time. And behold, seven heads of grain came up, one stalk healthy and good. Behold, seven heads of grain, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. The thin heads of grain swallowed up seven healthy and full ears. Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it happened in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the Egyptian magicians and wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. So right here, we're going back to those different gods, because as we know, the Egyptians were idol worshippers. They had many gods. They had multiple gods. And these magicians and wise men, they worshiped those false deities. And they were going to these false deities to get understanding of this dream. But this dream wasn't sent to them by those false deities. These dreams was sent to him by the Most High, the one true God. And as we've seen from dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, the Most High is allowing one of his servants to interact with these individuals. And these individuals, and you know, that's the, as we say, the mediator between the Most High and these people, or these individuals. So in this story, the mediator, we're going to say, is Joseph. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 and 16, and it reads, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Elohim will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So right here, I'm going to stop right here, because now we see Joseph is not even taking credit for interpreting dreams. He's acknowledging that he is a vessel being used to interpret this dream. So what ends up happening is Pharaoh hears the interpretation of his dream, and then he gives power to Joseph. We're going to go here, Genesis chapter 41, verse 25, and it reads, Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, that Elohim is about to do. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, but Elohim is about to do, he has declared to Pharaoh. So he's letting them know that the mighty one, the one true God, is declaring something to the Pharaoh. Verse 41-32, the dream was doubled to Pharaoh, because the thing is established by Yahweh, and Yahweh will shortly bring it to pass. Verse 39-41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, because Yahweh has shown you all of this, there is none as discreet and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and according to your words will all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. This is a king in Egypt that has acknowledged Yahweh and his power, because what he has done, he has set one of his servants up over the land of Egypt and has given him the authority to do what needs to be done. But I skipped a bit. If you're not familiar with the story, it's actually dealing with a famine and how there was going to be a famine in Egypt it was going to be a famine for 7 years, and it was going to be 7 years of plenty. So in the 7 years of plenty, Joseph came up with a plan where they would save up grain for the 7 years of famine. And so Egypt was saved during that famine time. And so we're going to go to Proverbs 16:9, and it reads, "A man's heart plans his course, but Yahweh directs his steps." And when I read this, what came to my mind was the fact that Yahweh puts different people in your path to lead and guide you and help you to understand who he is. But at the end of the day, it's about you making a choice. But he's going to give you an opportunity to make the right choice. As I'm paraphrasing the scriptures that he said, he wants us to choose life. You know, I think he said choose life. I think before the night's over, I'll try to find the scripture. Or if anybody knows what scripture I'm talking about, shoot text so that I can put it out there. But, you know, but that's what Yahweh wants for us. He wants us to choose life, you know, and he doesn't want us to choose death. So he gives us an opportunity to live. So from here, I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 1. So as we've seen before, we started off with Nimrod, who was a king who did not acknowledge Yahweh. And when dealing with Nimrod, one of the things that I discovered is, because it's not a lot of information within the scriptures about him, I didn't really want to be putting different things out about Nimrod. But it's a lot of information out there in regards to Nimrod and some of the things that point to Nimrod. But, you know, we're keeping it simple. And how we keep it simple is keeping it in the compounds of the word, of the Torah. We're going to go here, and now we're getting ready to talk about another king or another pharaoh in Egypt. And this particular pharaoh, he didn't know Yahweh, or as it says, I'm going to read the scripture, Exodus 1:8. It says, "Now there rose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." So from here, I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 5. This is a scripture I added later. But before I go there, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. Verse 19. My fault. Got glasses on and still messing up. Okay, and it reads, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And this is an excerpt from Deuteronomy. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel, and he's letting them know, you know, he called heaven and earth as a witness that he wants them to choose life. (Clears throat) I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. And it reads, "And Pharaoh said," and because what we're doing now, we're dealing with the account of Moses and Aaron, and they're going before the Pharaoh. Because right now, Israel is in bondage. Israel is in slavery of the Egyptians. They've been living, you know, they've been living in Egypt for a minute. You know, before they was living in a slight harmony because the Pharaoh knew Joseph, and Joseph saved Egypt. So now we come up to a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And it reads verse 2 again. "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go.'" So right here, I went here because now you have this king who saying, "I don't know who Yahweh is. And because I don't know who he is, I ain't letting his people go." And so I went there earlier because the scripture I started off with, I'll go back to it, where it was. That the Father, he created all things, and all things are according to his path, and all according to his plan. And I'm reading Exodus 4, verse 21. And it reads, "Yahweh said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you do before the Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go.'" He will not let the people go. And so, if you're familiar with the Exodus from Egypt, the Father goes through a number of plagues. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you know, and we know, I stated earlier, that the Egyptians were idol worshippers. And so, I'm going to go down the plague, and I'm going to tell you what God they was worshiping. Okay, as we know, we go with the first plague. And this is one of those gods, as he said, this is the Pharaoh who knew not Yahweh. So the first plague was blood. They had an Egyptian god of the Nile called Hapi. The second plague was frogs. They had the Egyptian goddess of fertility, of water, and renewal. Her name was Hekit. The third plague, gnats. They had an Egyptian god of the earth. His name was Geb. The fourth plague was the Egyptian god of creation, movement of the sun, and rebirth. His name was Kapir. And that plague was flies. Oh, I apologize. I should have said with the plague, but the first plague is blood. The second plague was frogs. The third plague was gnats. The fourth plague is flies. Now, the fifth plague is livestock. And it was the Egyptian god of love and protection, whose name was Hathor. I repeat, Egyptian goddess. I think I said God. Egyptian goddess of love and protection. Her name was Hathor. The sixth plague was boils. And this was the Egyptian goddess of medicine and peace. And her name was Isis. The seventh plague is hail. And this was the Egyptian goddess of the sky. And her name is, Nut. And the eighth plague was locust. And this points to the Egyptian god thorns and disorder. And this was Set. The ninth plague was darkness. And this was the sun god, Ra. the sun god Ra. Now, the 10th plague was the plague of the firstborn. And that points to Pharaoh and the ultimate power, because Pharaoh was the ultimate power. And he also, according to their beliefs, was actually Ra incarnated in flesh on earth. So when we deal with that and dealing with this particular king, that's because in his mind, he was God on earth. So he knew not no other God. I've heard that before. Isn't that something that Yahweh say? There's no God outside of me. So this Pharaoh is saying the same thing. But we want to, after we read this scripture, we're going to realize that he wasn't as powerful as he thought. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 11, verse 3. And it reads, Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So right here, you know, the things that Moses has done, he's starting to look well. And, you know, but it's because Most High has allowed this to happen. He's changed the heart of the people. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. And this is where the Most High is talking about him getting ready to come down. Because he's actually preparing, as we say, for the Passover. And it says, For I will go through the land of Egypt in the night, and I will strike all firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and animal. Against all the gods of the Egyptians, of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. So right here, we're dealing with the last plague. And as we say, Angel Death, he's striking them down, striking all the gods down. Because as we see, when we go through the different plagues, he was actually showing that those gods, those things were nothing. So after, you know, he took the life, took the life of the firstborn, even of Pharaoh, realized that he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. But then we go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 8, and it says, Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, for the children of Israel went out with a high hand. He went out with a high hand. And so what is he saying? What is he letting us know? That the Most High hardened his heart. Again, understanding that he hadn't proven, he hadn't shown his true power over the Egyptians. Because he wanted Israel to see something. He also wanted us to see something. Because when we look at these stories, as Paul said, you know, everything that was written before time was written for our learning. So these are occurrences that happen in the scriptures. And these things are for our learning. Because we come across people who think they're greater than the Most High. Exodus chapter 14, verse 30 and 31. And it reads, Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Yahweh saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And in a little, I'm going to start over. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great works which Yahweh did to the Egyptians. And the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and in his servant Moses. So Yahweh did this thing to the Egyptians to show Israel that he loved them and that he cared for them. But at the same time, showed the world who he is. Because as we know, Egypt was a mighty nation at one time. It was a mighty nation at one time. So, one of the things hopefully everybody got out of this was in dealing with men who raise themselves up to be greater than the father, how the father will take you down. And in the process of taking you down, he's also going to allow someone to learn from your situation. You know, one of the things I tend to say from time to time, and you know, every day is filled with lessons and blessings. So that's what we learn from this, you know. If we try to raise ourselves up above the Most High, he's going to knock us down. He's going to humble us. He gives it to us and he takes it from us, but he will give it right back to us if we do right, if we be obedient. If we acknowledge him and give him praise. And these are the different things that we can use to combat the adversary. Because we know that the adversary is going contrary. And the adversary is also sending men out there just doing contrary and trying to convince us that we're doing wrong. And I'm going to end with, you know, these last few scriptures. And these scriptures are actually talking about, you know, demons. Because it's interesting in my little studies and my little walk with the Most High. And when you, as a man, acknowledge that you're walking in the ways of the Most High, it's very difficult for other men to recognize that. Because men believe in themselves. They believe in what they're doing. But when you stand on the word of the Most High, people tend to look at you all cross-eyed. Because they feel with, and we live in an age where everyone's filled with their own opinions about what is righteousness. And we've seen throughout the scriptures, men who raise themselves up and have other men worshiping them and praising them and giving them honor, that eventually the Most High knocks them down, shows them that they're no greater than anyone else. Well, I'm going here to Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And this is actually talking about how demons recognize the authority of the Mighty One. And it's Matthew, I repeat, Matthew 8, 29. Behold, they cry out, saying, what do we have to do with you, Yahushua, son of Yah? Have you come here to torment us before the time? So right here, Yeshua wasn't even paying any attention to these cats. But they acknowledged him, and they brought it to his attention that they were there. Chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. In the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, ah, what have we to do with you, Yahushua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of Yah. So right here, you know, just give me another example. An unclean demon recognize who Yahushua was. James, chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. So this is letting you know that the demons believe, and the belief and the demons understand and know. So we as men have to understand and know his word so that we can recognize other men that are walking in his word and in his truth. As Paul said, be quick to hear and slow to speak. You know, you don't know what's on a man's mind until you listen to him. But if you're so caught up in your own self and your own rhetoric, you're actually showing your hand. So we as believers, we have to be mindful of pride. Because pride comes in many ways, many ways, many ways. And we don't want to get caught up in pride. But as we know, the fruits of the Spirit assist us in dealing with pride. And it helps us to overcome the works of the flesh. So let's stay in that word. Let's stay grounded in that word. Let's stay grounded in Yeshua. Keeping that full armor on. Showing the characters of the fruits of the Spirit. Because the more you take on them spirits, the more they are ingrained in you, and the easier your fight becomes. Not really your fight becomes easier. Your skills with his word becomes better, becomes greater. So now you become a skilled warrior for Yah and wielding his word to cause the demons and the adversary to flee from you. Because as the scriptures say, resist the devil and he will flee. What are you resisting him with? That armor, that word of the Most High. Because we see in the scriptures that that's what Yeshua did. He spoke the word of the Most High. And Hasatan flee. So family, I hope that you got something from the scriptures I read this evening. Go back over them, search them out. Search out Nimrod. Search out Nebuchadnezzar. Search out some of the things that those particular empires did and their practices. Because some of those practices are still going on today. They're just coming under another name. Because as we know, when we read earlier, that the Most High scattered them and changed their language. But the thoughts were the same. And so that's why he tells us to renew our minds and put in our minds the gospel, the truth of his teaching, the truth of his word. Because our minds have been polluted. It gives us an opportunity to get rid of the pollution and cause us to have pure thoughts. As the scriptures say, how does a man cleanse his ways? He cleanses ways with the Torah. And when I say man, I'm talking about humanity. But that's how we cleanse our ways, through the Torah, through the ways of the Most High. Merciful Father Yah, as we come to thee, we ask of thee to protect us as we prepare ourselves for our evening slumber. We thank thee for the lesson that you allowed us to receive this evening. And we look forward to the lesson in the morning. Father, we thank thee for sending thy son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King. And we thank thee for the example that he has set. Help us to walk in his footsteps. Help us to keep our eyes focused on him. For through him, we can accomplish everything. Father, we thank thee once again for choosing us to walk in your ways and walk in your truth and acknowledging thy son, Yahushua. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Amen. And shalom, Israel. Family, and all listening audience.